Is everyone excited for this next talk?
Yeah.
I am. No pressure.
All right. So Sylvestre is here to tell us all about Core Utils in Ubuntu and how it came to be. Thank you so much.
Hello, everyone. So first, I'd like to start by saying that I'm a Mozilla employee. It's not a Mozilla project, and I've been a Debian developer for the last 20 years. And I love reading what people have been telling about Mozilla and Debian and Firefox and this project. So I have a PhD in reading those trolls. What are the core utils? So who doesn't know what it is in that room? One person, but I think it's a joke. So the first implementation is much older than many of us. If you look at the source code of the first Unix, you will see an implementation in assembly. The second version in 72 was in C, and the code is pretty similar, and the usage and the interface is pretty similar to what you see currently in the various implementations. So when you think about it, 56 years after, we are still using what those folks did a long time ago. So you know those commands. I'm not going to ask you if you know those commands. It would be an insult in that room. That one, I'm pretty sure that you know, all of you, you know the first two. The last one, nobody uses it almost, it's for SELinux. Next is vdir. Who uses that command in that room? Yeah, nobody. Who knows what is stack? Oh, a few people. You are crazy, guys. And the last one, pr. I don't know anyone who uses that one in real life. It's for printing. It is one of the commands where we still have work to do, but nobody raised their hand in the room. So we have more than 100 comments in that project. I did two presentations on that stuff, way more technical than the one I'm going to do right now, because I want to focus on the human aspect of making those kind of changes and not really on the technical level. So if you care about technical implementation, you will see me talking with the same accent 3 years ago and last year about those projects. But basically, the TLDR of what I presented and what we see is that it is first a super interesting project. We are all geeks. We love to create new stuff. Why do we do it? Sometimes we don't have a good reason. Just learning something. For me, it was COVID. We were bored at home in France and I think in many countries in Europe. So I was like, oh, I want to learn Rust. I've been a Mozilla employee. I know many of the folks who created that language, so I want to learn it. And why not Core Utils? Because C sucks. So I'm going to troll a bit because I understood that this is a requirement. I think that C is a language of the past. I think the new generation, they don't want to learn C. When I was at university, it was COBOL and Fortran. And now for me, I think that the next generation is going to think the same about C that I did about COBOL and Fortran. Disclaimer, it's not about license. I don't want to talk about MIT versus GPL. It's not a debate that is interesting to me. I know that some people are very passionate about that, but I'm not. As long as it is Debian compliant, I'm happy. And Rust is amazing for plenty of things, and I will go back to that in the next slide. So a few months ago, John, the VP of Canonical, approached me saying, oh, we want to evaluate your tool for the next release. Full disclosure, I also discussed with Mark Shuttleworth a few years ago about it. They published a blog post after discussing together, and we have been coordinating closely for the last 6 or 7 months on that project with people who have been also Debian developers, so people that I know from the community. Canonical is really, they are really trying to focus on what matters, and this project is really a great step to show that you can do those kind of things. So taking a piece of software that has been that has been shipping on software for like 20 years and still being relevant and still works, but we want to show that, and we don't want to rewrite everything in Ubuntu. That makes no sense. It's not a Rust everywhere. It is being deliberate. So with Canonical, they started with that project and sudo, and they're also evaluating other pieces of software, especially unsafe software that have been existing in Linux distro for a long time. So we want to do also a gradual introduction, so we did that not on the latest LTS of Ubuntu, but on the one before, to make sure that we identify some classes of error. And they also worked and spent a lot of time on explicit rollback, so that means if it didn't work, you have, as a user or as a packager, the capability to roll back to the previous version. And they also think that Rust is the future of Linux. Linux as a whole, the distribution, and also the kernel and various pieces of the stack. And I have to do some product placement. It's not the first major software written in Rust in Ubuntu. The first one is Firefox years ago. So I have to talk about Firefox in my slide. So who knows, I guess everybody knows about that one, the HKCD. I love that one. So yeah, someone is wrong on the internet. Well, I have a question for you. Who reads in the room Hacker News? Yeah, almost everybody. Cool. Who reads Foronix? Who reads the forum on Foronix? Oh, only a few. You are crazy. You should not do that for your health. It's not healthy. Who reads Reddit? Almost everybody. Cool. And who cried reading some of those comments? Yeah, everybody. Cool. Yeah, in many situations, I'm like, especially with my work, sometimes people write stuff about Mozilla. I'm like, oh, it's not exactly what happened, or it's not exactly the way things are going. And it's the same for that project. So what I'm going to show you now, it's 5 examples of people trolling the project or saying stupid things on the internet and trying to parse what they wrote and trying to explain what they wrote. Sometimes it's hard. And also explain what us, upstream, we have been doing to prevent those things from happening. So it is one of the first ones. So the worst idea I've seen in a while, people rely on behavior of the GNU core utils. This is going to break a lot of stuff. Utils are not there yet. So you have the source. If you like trolling people, I will share the slide and you can click on that link and discuss with the people from 8 months ago. So what that person meant is in the core utils, we have undocumented behavior. I will come back to that. We have a lot of those. When I say we, I'm also contributing to the upstream project. So sometimes I'm going to confuse saying we, GNU, and sometimes Rust. For me, it's the same. We are all trying to do the same thing. It's very friendly. And we have a lot of scripts that depend on those semantic. And that person, when they wrote that, were like, oh, you are going to break stuff. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we broke stuff. For sure. And we knew that, right? When we started that project, we knew that we were going to break some of the things in Ubuntu. So one of the first things that we broke was DD, some weird usage with MD5. That one we coded before the release. The second one was a bug in date where date-r was not doing what it was supposed to do, and we broke the unintended software upgrade. You know the stuff that you can deploy on a Debian and Ubuntu to automatically upgrade your system in the background without you knowing. You can challenge that statement that if it is smart to do that or not, but it is one of the things that we broke. And as far as I know, that's the only thing that we broke for real in production. But before that, like as a French, I started with a negative, so now I'm going to the positive. We did a lot of things to prevent that from happening. So yesterday, we were at 75% of the GNU test suite passing in our implementation. It's a long sentence, so I will parse it. But basically, it means that we build our toolchain, and we run the upstream GNU test suite against ours. And we have only 5% of the tests that are not passing. Some of them, for example, are in date. So I learned last week that in Ethiopia, they have a different calendar than we do. And in Iran also, so it is a kind of thing that we are not supporting yet, but because we are relying on the ecosystem of Rust, with ICU, we can implement that easily. It's not going to be hard. As I said earlier, we are also not fully compliant with the PR command, but nobody uses it, so that's fine. Except if you were working on Unix in 72, maybe you use it, but not anymore. And we have an amazing code coverage, so in tech, I think everybody knows that if you are above 80% of code coverage, you are usually doing a good job. We do differential fuzzing, so that means that we generate some commands. So for example, for sort, we send plenty of stupid arguments, valid, invalid. We send it to the GNU implementation, to the Rust implementation, and we compare the stdr, the stdout, and the exit code, and we do a diff. If it is stdr, does it matter, the output? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but the steady out and the exit code are very important. So we verify those things. We have also a huge community. I will share some numbers, so we get a lot of bugs, too many bugs. But if you don't have bugs, that probably means that you don't have users, so I'm happy to have bugs. We worked a lot with the Ubuntu folks, so they rebuilt the Ubuntu archive several times with our implementation. And in Debian and Ubuntu, we have a lot of PostScript that runs that rely on the GNU tools, so that helps you to cover a lot of things. And last but not least, we received a lot of bug reports by user also after we shipped. So another one. So it may be a bad publicity for those who want to rewrite as much as possible in Rust. Yeah, fair. And what I like in that sentence is that we were trying to follow the hype of Rust. So basically what that person wrote is we are trying to be fancy, modern, and we want to show off. Someone said that I'm doing that for my resume. Probably not, but it was fun still to read that. And obviously that person said that rewriting doesn't make it better. Yeah, we all know that. But I was doing it for fun, right? So I do what I want with my free time. And Ubuntu was trying to be trendy. And again, if you like C, you are probably in the wrong room. But I'm a huge believer that you should rewrite more things in Rust in the future for stability, but also for ownership of the young generation of the code. So we are not chasing hype. We use Rust for concrete reason. So I'm not going to do a marketing speech for Rust here, but memory safety performances. And I think one of the key things that people don't realize, and I saw a lot of troll about that one, is that doing Rust, when you write Rust, the code is very easily portable to another platform. So when people disagree with me, I like to say, think about a C library, think about libxml, and try to write a program that is going to use libxml on Mac, Linux, and Android, and Windows. And then you start crying, and you know that you are going to waste one day of your life just making the build system correct and build it. With Rust, you know that you do cargo init, cargo add, and you have your XML parser, and it is going to run and build on those platforms. And you are not going to have an issue. In half an hour, I can do it easily. CodeCloud can do it in 2 seconds. So it's super easy to do that. So it's one of the very great things with that. Of course, the counter argument is that you need Rust to work. So that means that you need LLVM to support that platform. Which is a different story that I'm not going to go into, but we have proper support in Debian and Ubuntu for that. So this is one of my favorite. Absolutely, fuck this. I hope coroutil will be still available for sane people along sudo. Yeah, so it's for Onyx. So that is an emotional reaction that I do understand, like people don't want to break it. Yeah, fuck this. Yeah. So it's a forced replacement. That person thinks that they're not going to be able to do a rollback. So as I was saying, the folks at Canonical, they're smart, they know what they're doing. So right from the start, you have the way to rollback. And so you can completely switch from the Rust to the GNU implementation, but also what they have done is that they realize that some of the commands were too risky to switch right now. So for example, chown, when you use an Ubuntu today, the current stable is going to point to the GNU implementation because we knew that we had some bug. And just to be safe, we decided to leave the GNU one so that it is less risky for everyone. Troll number four. That one is, I don't know if it is a real comment. Basically, that person called us a techno-fascist to steal Linux from us. That one is really one of my favorite. I don't know if that person was joking or not, but it's really, we in the room, if we do Rust, we are techno-fascist and we are trying to replace the old guard and so on. So the blog post is very long and it's very funny. I wish that person was joking, otherwise they should see someone. That person linked also how we work in the coroutils, but also the one in the GNU kernel, which are not related. I haven't sent any email to Linus Torvald about that. I don't think he cares, but there is no conspiracy. We didn't coordinate it. We are not trying to replace all the GNU tools or the GNU project by an MIT implementation. It's really individual project, individual choices. Canonical is not trying to move Ubuntu as a proprietary platform. It would be impossible even if they wanted to, which they don't want to do. And I'm not involved in the kernel politics. I'm already doing way too much politics. So troll number five, this one is one of my favorite. When you have people doing meme about your project, I think you have an amazing line in your resume. There is another one that I didn't share with Trump and Greta Thunberg. Someone did that one. I'm not sure because I'm sick of seeing that orange face. I'm not going to share it, but some people did some meme about the project. So that person was trolling us about two bugs. The first one was sort was taking way too long if you had a line of 2 million characters. So do you have that in real life? Probably not. And the other one is checksum was 17 times slower in our implementation than the new one. So yeah, we have bugs, for sure. So the 17 slower is because we took the approach of first you try to get compatibility and then you optimize performances. Like you don't try to first get the compatibility. You don't try to get performances if you are not compatible. You do that the other way around. And because we have 100 commands, testing all the combination is very hard. So we fixed it in a week. The long line bug, we fixed it in a month. And many bugs, performances, compatibility, we fix them in a few days. So what did I learn and what did we learn during that project? So Rust is not a silver bullet. If you are saying that Rust is going to fix all the issues in the world, you are probably wrong. But it's still much better than C and C++. But it's not a silver bullet. You still have logic bugs. I also learned that coroutines can be very weird, to the point that upstream, they may, after our work, they change some of the behavior in the GNU implementation. So we contributed a lot. Upstream has been contributing to our project. Two of the core maintainers have been answering to bug in our bug tracker. And we, I think, in the last release, I'm committer number 4 or 5 in the GNU implementation. One of the contributors in the Rust project, I think, is number 3. So we contribute a lot to upstream, especially in the test suite. So the rollout strategy, and that's why I focus that presentation on human aspect and not technical. That's why I didn't share any CLI today, even if I love it. It's because I care more about the human aspect of that project, because the rollout strategy was really key here, and coordination and working with smart people. So that slide is, I'm proud of that slide. In the meantime, I'm also scared, because if it's the evolution of the number of PR on the project. So in 2025, we had 2,054 pull requests on that project that represent 4,000 commits. So if you work on a project of that scale, you are scared. So I'm afraid of burnout. For now, I'm doing well. I am lucky to have some people helping. One of the guys in the room over there helping me with pull requests. But it's really a crazy volume. In December, we had more than 200 PR just in December. So imagine we have to several commits. So when you start doing that during your weekend, well, not the weekend, but during lockdown in COVID, and you start your project by your own, you don't have anyone to review your PR, and you have to review your own PR, so you auto-merge your stuff. And now we have it's a huge success. And last year, we had 206 contributors. So it's an amazing way to learn Rust. If you are in the room and you don't do Rust, I'm not selling my project, but if you want to learn, it's very easy to start because you have the target, so you know what you are supposed to do. You know that the GNU implementation is a reference. We still have a lot of compatibility issues,